And Jeffrey Doherty back with us. One of his books, Final Message of the Last Apostle, Alien Agenda in the New Testament. Fascinating work there. We're going to talk with Jeffrey about a lot of these cases in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, Jeffrey Doherty back with us. Jeff is a Bible College graduate, former 20-year ministry, over 100,000 hours of biblical study. Now, during his ministry, he saw cracks in the foundation of big-time religion, which convinced him that we've been trapped in fear and guilt-based control matrix for more than 2,000 years. He dedicates his life to providing unbiased information to assist people. You know, Mark Twain once said that it's easier to fool someone than to convince them that they've been fooled. But as the Christian whistleblower, as we call him, Jeffrey is not going to stop trying. Author, speaker, proud father, grandfather, and a member of the U.S. Air Force. He's a veteran, and thanks for serving there, Jeffrey.
George, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you, as always. It's always a great thrill to be on Coast to Coast. It's like Christmas in February, George.
It sure is. How have you been?
I've been fantastic. I met a beautiful woman, moved to Kansas, and we're building up the Christian Whistleblower YouTube channel. So I've been very, very busy and very, very happy.
Good for you. Good for you. And the family's doing well?
Fantastic. I think at least two of my kids, Joshua and Sandra, are listening tonight, and I think Charity will probably catch it on the replay.
Oh, that's great. That's kind of exciting for them.
You know, it's funny, George, because Joshua and Sandra, way back in the day before I'd heard of any of this, were listening to Coast to Coast and say, Jeff, Dad, you got to listen to this guy, George Norrie, Coast to Coast. I'm like, I don't want to listen to that. And here we are all these years later, George, and the rest is history.
A couple days ago, I wished my daughter, Christy, a happy birthday, and she woke up in the morning to like 20 texts from her friends who had heard it. She was just, I think she might have been asleep. But
that's hilarious. It is the show of record, and it really is an honor and a privilege to be with you. There's nothing like Coast to Coast, and there's nothing like being a guest on this great program.
Well, we're going to have some fun tonight, and our great listeners are going to have some fun talking to you when they call in. How many books do you have out now?
I've actually written 15 books now, George. I've kind of taken a hiatus from the books because I've been so busy at work on the YouTube channel. But we've written 15 of them over the years.
Right. And now, was the Final Message of the Last Apostle, is that came out in 2016. Is that the last book?
No, I've actually written several of them since then. But the first one was Apostle Paul Antichrist. And there was a famous radio personality named George Norrie who did a nice forward.
Well, I did a little blip for you on that. That's right. That was fun doing. Now, for people who want to watch you on YouTube, how do they find you?
The easiest thing, George, is just to go on YouTube, type in The Christian Whistleblower, or type in my name. It's right at the top of the searches, and you'll have no trouble finding me.
What is a Christian whistleblower?
Well, you know, actually, it started, I think somebody on your show made a derogatory reference to me being a traitor like the Edward Snowden of the New Testament. And I thought, you know what? I like that, The Christian Whistleblower. And basically, it's somebody that was in Christianity, and like Mr. Snowden, saw some things that he didn't think were right, some things that people need to know about. And that's kind of what I am, a person giving everybody all the deep, all the inside information, you know, shining a light in the dark corners of orthodoxy so we can all have all the cards on the table before we make our decisions in matters of faith, which really kind of more important than life and death, isn't it?
It sure is. And it doesn't mean you're a non-believer by any means, does it?
You know, George, back when I was a Christian pastor for 20 years, a Bible College graduate, and where I am today, I would say I'm much more spiritual, and I'm living much more in line with the words and teachings of the people, of the man that people would call Jesus Christ. That's a great point.
How did someone involved in this kind of work end up investigating UFOs, extraterrestrials, and entities like that?
It sounds like a made-up answer, but the truth of it is, and we've talked about this on this show before, that the New Testament is absolutely loaded with UFO, ET, and alien imagery. And even more shockingly, almost 100% of it in the New Testament is tied to the great events in the life of the man we call Jesus.
Explain a little bit more, because I think this is as fascinating as it can get. Why?
Well, I agree with you, George. And if you just take the biggest events in the life of Jesus, we'll just talk about the birth of Christ. If you look at the birth of Christ, we read all these stories, we hear these stories, but if we get into the actual Greek language of the New Testament, we find that the shepherds were frozen and encased in blinding columns of light and were made immovable when they saw those angels. When you go to the resurrection, or excuse me, the crucifixion, you see that Jesus was hanging on the cross, and all of a sudden, the sun was blocked out for several hours right during the middle of the day, and then all of a sudden, the sun shows up again. And if we look at the text, and you shared this with me on one of the other shows before, the Fatima story.
Yes.
It looked very much like it was a large UFO that was blocking out that sun, and Jesus expected to be on it. That's why he cried out, "Why have you left me here?" So that's just a couple of tidbits, George, and it's a big, long trail and 15 books worth of information and lots of great shows on this channel.
What do you think of evil entities, Jeffrey?
Well, that's a great question. I think that a lot, and when I say I think, it's from, I'll be 57 this year, George, and that makes 40 years of studying this.
That's a long time.
It is a long time. I don't look that old, but I am.
I mean, the studying part was a long time.
right. And 47 is not old if you're a tree, so I keep telling myself that.
That's right.
But as far as evil entities go, there are evil entities, but I'm sure that most of the evil entities that we encounter are really energy that we put out from us that's unbalanced energy. And like salmon, this energy will swim around out there, but sooner or later it's got to come home to mama or home to papa to try to get fixed. And most of what we see coming back at us, it looks like an evil entity, is just energy that we put out there. It's gained some sentience, it's gained some personality, so it doesn't want to be reassimilated. But most of the time, if we recognize that, we flood it with positivity, you can say love, it'll snap right back into phase, and what looks like a scary, horrible demon is really just something that you started and really only you can finish.
Can we be sure that we're right, and that is that these things might not be evil, it's just something else?
I don't think there's much that we can be sure of, George. In fact, getting old again, the only thing I'm sure of is I'm not sure of much. But I know from experience that if you do it that way, upwards of 80 to 90% of things get taken care of. And then sometimes there are real things that go bump in the night, and that's when you might need some professional help or some more experienced help to come by. But if we would just realize that most of it, we can handle it because we're divine, we're sovereign, we're free, we've got the power. And I think we waste a lot of time being afraid when we really just need to stand up and use what's already ours.
Jeffrey, you've been studying a lot about some additional information about our understanding of extraterrestrials. Where do you come up with this information, and how did you get to this point?
That's a great question, George. And one of the shortcomings I have is I spend so much time studying my own material. I've got over 2,500 videos on the Christian Whistleblower channel. That's a lot of study.
I don't get
a chance to really look at a lot of things. But I've got some great friends, and one of them is a man named Robert Stanley, who's a great guest of yours very often.
Mm-hmm. Good man.
Wonderful guy, wonderful researcher. And he kind of put a bug in my ear several months ago. And we've been talking about it ourselves and researching. And there's a growing belief, George, within the whole genre here, considering the possibility that there's a universal law governing the whole universe that states that if a race is malevolent towards others, if a race wants to do harm to others, there's a growing belief, George, that it's actually being restricted to its home planet. So malevolent ETs must stay home, and they can't go out and bother other people.
Interesting. Now, yet we hear so many cases of abductions and strange things happening. Who's doing that?
That becomes the $64,000 question. I've talked at length with Travis Walton. You've had him on the show. And lots of people, just like us, tell stories of malevolent interactions with beings that they identify as being extraterrestrial. So it is a conundrum. But last week, we got some new information about those Tic Tac UFOs that the Nimitz aircraft carrier...
Navy pilots were chasing.
Right, and there's a retired intelligence officer that broke some new information, George, that after the Navy pilots were chasing these things, There was at least one, maybe multiple, but at least one Los Angeles class nuclear U.S. Navy submarine that also sighted craft that were identical in description to the ones the Nimitz were chasing, except, George, they sighted them underwater, under the ocean, going in excess of 500 miles an hour.
Wow. Submersibles.
Submersibles, underwater submerged or unidentified submersible objects, or however that goes. But then the question came to my mind, 70% of this planet is covered by water, and only 5% of that water has ever been explored, George.
That's right.
So if we employ Occam's razor and we're seeing malevolent acts by beings that we're identifying as ET, well, what if they're interterrestrials? Maybe they come from the oceans that we haven't discovered. I've heard shows on this very channel where people are seeing UFOs coming out of Mount Shasta, out of the Grand Canyon, out
That's
of caverns. We've explored very little of our underground.
We had an ex-Navy person call us, Jeffrey, a couple of years ago, who was on an aircraft carrier, and he saw underwater the lights of what he said was a UFO trailing the aircraft carrier. And he said the thing must have been 20 or 30 feet underwater, but he saw the bright light for the entire trip while they were in the sea. That's amazing.
It is amazing. And then we haven't even really considered the fact that since we're talking about the Navy, Admiral Byrd, his reports of seeing an expanse of land beyond Antarctica that we've never, you know, explored. And then since this is coast to coast AM, if we had beings that were traveling from our future back to us to harvest organs or to harvest genetic material because they're having a problem in the future, they could be doing that, which is a malevolent act, but they wouldn't be in violation of that law, George, because they're from here.
That's a good point. Why do you think the Navy is not disclosing? I spent 9 years in the Navy. If I was back in the public information desk, I'd be trying to leak this all over the place. But why are they holding back on this information?
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. I really do appreciate that.
Thank you. You too.
And second of all, I would think that, you know, I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I served in the Air Force. And I'd like to think that they're trying to protect us. They're trying to manage it. I'd like to think that they're afraid that there'd be a panic, that things would get out of control. You know, I don't want to think that they're trying to keep things under control. I think they're trying to manage fear. And until I get a better answer, I'm going to be content to stay with that one.
I think we're ready to be told things, don't you?
I absolutely do. I think they underestimate us. But, you know, when you're in power, George, and if you if you see yourself as somebody that's sort of running an asylum, it's kind of a tough way to give the inmates too much information.
Well, absolutely. And I think one of the ways they could present it to us would be to say, look, we have withheld this information from you for, you know, hundreds of years because we were afraid you could not handle it. That's the only reason, folks. We didn't do it to deceive you or anything else. We just felt that, and we might be wrong, but we felt that you could not handle this and that you would panic and we'd have all kinds of problems.
Right.
And
right.
That at least people would accept that as a possible excuse.
I think so, George. And if you think about it, to me, the possibility that these beings might be intraterrestrial and not necessarily extraterrestrial, to me, it makes it a little bit less scary. Well, if they're from here, perhaps we can talk with them. We can work with them. We're not, you know, if they're from out there, we're kind of sure they're going to shoot us with ray guns and eat us. But if they're from here, maybe not so much. And it might ratchet down some of the fear and dread. And I'm not saying there's not extraterrestrials, but I'm saying that maybe we could possibly open our minds and think, maybe there's some intraterrestrials and we've got some places here that are worth exploring as well.
I have to ask you this. I had a guest on a couple days ago who believes that Prince Charles is the next Antichrist. What do you think of that?
Wow, that's an interesting one. I haven't heard that name.
I know, that's a new twist.
In a while. I think that, you know, that's a very interesting thought, and people have a lot of ideas, and they're all welcome to them. That's what makes this great world of ours go around. But as far as the term Antichrist biblically, it doesn't mean some guy in the future that we're all going to pin a tail on. Who is it going to be? Antichrist simply means against the anointed or against the message of the anointed. So like they said in the Bible, there were already many antichrists then, and there's been many more. And I don't think we do ourselves a favor or a service when we start trying to play pin the tail on the antichrist.
Well, that's a good point too, Jeffrey. And I'm just, you know, I'm thrilled that somebody who has so much biblical knowledge would be involved in the kinds of ET work you've been doing. I think that's a great mix.
Well, you really can't avoid it. And another thing that made it even more real to me is I've started doing a lot of work recently with Joseph Atwell, the great author of Caesar's Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gone a long way towards convincing me personally that Rome was written, or the New Testament was written by Romans, by the Flavians. And then I had to ask myself, I know it's full of UFO ET imagery. Why would the Romans or the Flavians write that? And as I started studying Roman history and Roman literature, Roman fiction, George, I would challenge you to read one page of Roman history and literature and not find some allusion to extraterrestrials or beings in the sky, armies in the sky. The Roman culture was absolutely chock full of UFO, ET, and alien imagery, so it makes perfect sense that a New Testament they wrote would be the same way.
Oh, it's all over the planet, in just about every culture. I mean, in Central America, you have Lord Pacal sitting at a stone block, chipped away artifact that clearly looks like he's behind a flying saucer with a bunch of controls.
You know, I know there's a lot of discussion about that, but I couldn't agree with you more. I actually talked to Giorgio about that just a little bit, and I think he's right on.
Yeah, he sure is. So what's your next work? What's your next series of studies?
Well, the series of studies I'm working on right now, George, is trying to find out what happened. I think there was a genuine, real spiritual renewal right around the year zero or the turn of B.C. to A.D. I think there really was something that happened there. And sure, Rome swooped in very shortly thereafter, put the quash on it, destroyed Jerusalem. And I'm trying to really find out, number one, what happened there in those early years before A.D. 70, and then what happened from about 1100, when Rome really kind of lost control, up until the publication of the King James Version, and what's going on now. And it seems like Rome kind of got taken over, but not really taken over, maybe just got acquired by another conglomerate. So we kind of still have Rome, but it's kind of like Rome under a new name now. So it's a lot of puzzles, a lot of interesting stuff, and that's kind of where my mind is going these days.
Do you think Jesus was an extraterrestrial?
Well, George, all I know is that Jesus said, I am not of this world. And if you believe the Bible account, the Bible says that the gods, it says Elohim in Genesis, I don't want to get anybody's dander up, but it says they came here, they created the heavens and created the earth. And George, I'm not that smart, but if you come and create a heaven and you create an earth, that means that you probably weren't from that heaven or that earth. So by definition, the God of the Bible has to be an extraterrestrial.
Interesting point. Stick with us. We're going to take a quick break. Jeffrey Doherty with us. One of his works, of course, is called Final Message to the Last Apostle, Alien Agenda in the New Testament. And, of course, next hour we'll take your phone calls with Jeffrey as well. He's got his YouTube channel. It's called The Christian Whistleblower. So you can search YouTube that way and watch the episodes that he has available there. And as for us, of course, email me at george@coasttocoastam.com. And we've got a YouTube channel, too. It's just search for Coast to Coast AM Official. It's got to be that way or you won't find it. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Jeffrey Doherty. His website, again, is his name, jeffreydoherty.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Jeffrey, how did you get involved with this in the first place?
Boy, that's a long story, isn't it? And, you know, it was basically when I came to the place where I was no longer satisfied by what I was being told and sold through Orthodox religion. And, you know, I had a Bible college education. I had 20 years invested in the church. But I made the decision one night to just put that all aside and go back to basics, like a person that didn't know anything about the scriptures, So I went back to the Greek, I went back to the Hebrew, and I just started teaching myself from word one until the end of the books. And that type of, that spirit of inquiry, when you do it in one thing, it naturally bleeds over into other parts of your life. So I began to ask the questions, when 9/11 came, I was one of the people that was profoundly affected by that and started asking questions about that. My kids turned me on to Coast to Coast AM. My kids turned me on to Ancient Aliens, and the spirit of inquiry took over. And, you know, without trying to sound anything other than sincere, I mean, it was you and Giorgio that were two of the main reasons why I got to where I am today, and I do owe you a profound debt of thanks.
Well, that's okay. Giorgio's one of a kind. Isn't he a great guy?
He really is. You know, I met him at Contact in the Desert. He was just a gentleman, a true good guy.
He sure is. How do you like his haircut?
You know, I was trying to get my hair to do that, George, but I can't.
he's one of a kind. I had
George,
to introduce him.
I wanted to thank you, too, personally, you and your great staff, because I noticed a surge of subscribers the other day on my YouTube channel. Like, what's going on? Come to find out, you had been kind enough to replay one of our old interviews on that Coast to Coast official YouTube channel. So I went and subscribed right away, and thank you so much.
Super. Yeah, free to subscribe, and they love it. YouTube is a remarkable tool for people to get the message out.
It really is, and, you know, it is a thing where you don't have to spend a lot of money, you don't have to have a lot of production equipment, and you're able to do it unfiltered, so you can take it straight to the people. But that's good and bad, George, because the people want something that's good, they want something that's informative, they want something that helps them, and if you're not giving it to them, there's a lot of other channels for them to watch.
Absolutely. So earlier, so you said basically Jesus was an extraterrestrial. Now, for people, I don't want them to panic and think that you're being, unchristian-like by any means. But coming from above means extraterrestrial, doesn't it?
Right. I think the literal definition of extraterrestrial means from beyond Earth. So I think even the most devout Christian would probably admit, if we took it to a strictly linguistic argument, that the person they worship as Jesus definitely was from outside Earth.
I mean, you're a believer in God, right?
Absolutely. I'm a very profound believer in God, a very profound believer in divinity. I believe we're all divine, sovereign, and free. The real thing for me, though, George, is I don't believe, and I think I've proven and I know, that we don't have original sin. We've got the spark of divinity within. We are not sinners that need salvation, and we don't have to go to anybody else's savior. I believe we're divine, we're sovereign, we're free, and we can go directly to divinity ourselves.
When we were talking a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, weren't we talking about the Mandela effect as well?
We were. George, you and I have been talking about the Mandela effect for years, and it just gets curiouser and curiouser, my friend.
Let's explain to folks, Jeffrey, in your definition, what it is. Somebody at home is probably saying, what's the Mandela effect? Who's that?
Well, the Mandela effect is this idea that things are not like they used to be. Things are changed. And it seems like there's multiple timelines, because a lot of people remember, and this is the granddaddy of them all to me, George, a lot of people remember the Lucy Ball show with Desi Arnaz playing Ricky Ricardo, and Lucy would do something crazy, and
yeah,
Desi would come home, and Ricky would say, Lucy, you got some splaining to do, and she would cry, and it would be funny. But he never said it, George. It was never, ever said. And there's millions of us that watched him say it every day. But in reality that we're in today, he never said it. To me, that's the classic example of the Mandela effect.
That's interesting. And there seems to be that effect in just about everything, in the Bible, and just you name it. It's people think it's in there, and it's not.
Absolutely. And, you know, I guess because of our talks and the great audience that you have, I have somehow become a mini subject matter expert. I get lots of emails and lots of, you know, comments on the Christian Whistleblower YouTube, and I'll give you a fun one, and then we'll give you one that's really somber. I got one within the last 3 months that, you know, we all watched the Matrix movie. We love the Matrix. And we all remember Morpheus saying to Neo, what if I told you that everything you've ever been told is a lie? And that's a line that's launched a million memes on the Internet.
Right.
And it's never been said in the movie, George.
People created it in their own mind.
Or it was in the movie and then it's not. It was another timeline. But on a very somber note, I've got at least a dozen of these, George, and people will write me and say, Jeff, I know you think I'm crazy, but my husband is not my husband anymore. He looks like him, but he doesn't like the same things. He doesn't act the same way. He's mean. He's not the same person I married. And I've had at least to have a dozen of those. And also I get, Jeff, I'm telling you, this building wasn't there yesterday, but it's there today. And then 2 weeks later, it's gone again. So there's buildings and bridges here and not here. There's people changing. There's these things changing in entertainment. And I'm convinced, after all these years of study, that it is a supernatural occurrence. And I think it's being directed by a external entity that doesn't have our best interest at heart. And I think, and we talked about this back in the day on this show, that Daniel the prophet actually prophesied about it happening, and he nailed it.
Interesting. Now, of course, the Mandela Effect is named after Nelson Mandela, the former South African president who was in jail, and then they let him out, and he became president. But people think, the masses believe that he died in the 1980s, and all those people remember it. They swear to it, and he was very much alive,
I'm
alive.
I'm with the group, George, that remembers him dying in prison.
I did the same thing. He's dead now for sure, but I did the same thing with the actor. Remember Jack Palance?
I do remember Jack Palance.
Everybody I talked to said that he had died. I thought he had died, and then I saw him pop up on something, and I'm going, there he is. I went on to Wiki, and he was still very much alive at the time.
It's just a very, very strange world we live in, and we can choose either to be, you know, frightened by it. But I don't know if I'm mentally deficient or what, George, but I am excited by it. I wake up every morning wondering what's going to happen next. And I, even though I look at what's going on, I'm convinced, George, that the world is not bad and getting worse, but it's good and getting better. And we're here to make darn sure it does.
We're going to take calls with Jeffrey Doherty next hour. You can start now. Gina's here filling in for Tom. He might have jury duty, so he's got to do his thing. And, gosh, those things last forever sometimes, Jeffrey, don't they?
They do, but I'll tell you, Gina's doing a crack-up job. She was a pleasure to talk to.
She sure is. And ever since you started the Christian Whistleblower, tell me about the response you've been getting.
Well, you know, it's funny. It started off pretty slow, and slow and steady, you know, can win the race. But then I kept plugging. I got some real help by a great friend named Rex Baer, who's forgot more about YouTube than I'll ever know. He was a great guy. And all of a sudden, George, we're up to pushing 50,000 subscribers now, and it just shows that if you work really, really hard, in 5 or 6 years, you can become an overnight success.
Well, you're going to get more from tonight, that's for sure, Jeffrey.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, George.
Christian Whistleblower, and it's in, of course, YouTube. You just put it in the search bar, and Jeffrey pops up. How often do you do a new episode?
Well, George, we've got over 2,500 videos on the channel.
Oh, my gosh.
Two a day. I've been known to do 8 or 9 a day. It just depends.
Are you podcasting, too?
Yes, sir. We've kind of moved away from that and put all of our efforts mainly into
YouTube,
the YouTube channel. But Rex Baer is the hardest working man on YouTube, and I'm trying to be number two.
I love it. Now, what do you mean by interterrestrial? What is that?
Well, extraterrestrial, we just talked about that, would mean that they're beings from outside this world.
All right.
And if we turned around extra into intraterrestrial, that would mean that these same beings that are doing these malevolent things that we're sure are extraterrestrials, and might be, but, George, could they not also be beings that are from here on this Earth in that 95% of the ocean that we've never discovered?
Very possible.
The 95% under the ground we've never explored. The land Admiral Byrd saw, and not to mention those people that could be coming interdimensionally as well.
Who's to say that there aren't human beings who started in the ocean or started underground and came to the front, like, you know, came on land and became us?
Well, you know, Mr. Darwin had some theories about that. And while, you know, most of us in this genre would say we don't quite believe that, You know, there just might be a little truth in all fiction, George.
Are you concerned at all that whatever these beings might be, that their agenda is not very good? I know you said that there's almost like this unwritten rule that they're confined to their own planet and they've got to be good. But what about those that aren't somehow?
Well, that's a concern. It really is. And I know you had the guys from Stardust Ranch on a while back. I'm talking with them, too, and, boy, they're going through some stuff. But we can't say to people, look, there's no bad entities out there because people are experiencing bad entities. And I think the main thing for us not to do is to allow a spirit of fear and a spirit of panic to take us, but to have calm and to have resolve and to learn how to deal with these things, learn how to defeat these things. And to me, again, if they're from here, it gives me a little hope that we've got the same common ground, we've got the same planet, maybe we can talk to each other, we can work things out. But I think the worst thing we can do is get fearful. And maybe if somebody was trying to use an ET agenda to keep us fearful, to make us want to have, you know, more control, to give up freedom for more control, they'd want to use that extraterrestrial, the evil guys from Alpha Centauri are coming to kill you. And if it's not all that, and some of them are from right here on Earth, maybe that'll give us the time to take a breath and say, okay, maybe I don't have to be frightened. Maybe I don't have to give up my freedom in order for somebody to protect me from this. Maybe they're from here, and maybe we can work it out.
What do you prefer, that they are from here or out there?
I'm an Occam's razor guy. What is simplest is usually best. And I'm a is it true, I'm a prove it to me guy. So at this point, I'm more intraterrestrial while allowing for the possibility of extraterrestrial.
Do you feel more comfortable with that?
I do feel more comfortable with that.
I wonder how many people would like them to be from here as opposed to extraterrestrial. I kind of like the fact that it's kind of romantic that there's other beings on other planetary systems. I kind of like that.
And, you know, I wouldn't, and I'm not in any way saying that they're not out there. I'm just saying that I have a hard time, and, you know, maybe it's because I watched too much Star Trek as a kid, George, but I have a hard time believing that an advanced race that could traverse the stars, that could do what they had to do to get here, would want to fly all this way to eat us. There's got to be a Wendy's between from where they're at and where we're at. And if they come this far, I would like to think that they're of a more advanced race and not somebody that's just trying to eat us or enslave us.
Well, maybe they are benevolent. Maybe they're the ones who seeded us, Jeffrey.
Very well could be. Very well could be. And where I'm at, and this is a great question. That's why I love being on the show. You make me think like few other places do. I think that I'm more comfortable thinking that the malevolent ones are from here, again, by Occam's razor, particularly with the belief that there's got to be, even mathematically, there's got to be other beings out there. And the ones that get here are so advanced that they would be benevolent or ambivalent.
Do you think those that live within the planet look like us?
You know, it seems like, and if you read Sagan and some of the great experts, this, you know, this hominid form of ours seems to be, you know, the most durable or the most workable form. So I would expect them to be hominid, but if they're under the ground, I wouldn't expect their skin to look exactly like ours, and there might be differences in body density, you know, compared to what the pressures are and the gravity. But I'd expect them to look kind of like us, but I wouldn't expect them to be exactly like us.
Jeffrey, for people who want to watch again on YouTube, go to your website, give us some information.
Just go into YouTube, type in the Christian Whistleblower, and boom, there you are. Just that simple.
And the website, jeffreydoherty.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Books are still available?
Absolutely.
What's your favorite of all the ones you've written so far?
Probably Final Message of the Last Apostle.
That's a great book, isn't it?
I think it's the most inclusive, and it has the most information, and it's the one that I still believe most of what I believed when I wrote it, even now.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, we're going to take phone calls with Jeffrey Doherty when we come back about ETs, about messages from the past, about the New Testament. Let your fingers get ready, and we'll get to your calls as soon as we can on Coast to Coast AM. And again, his website, Jeffrey Doherty. It's easier just to go to the link at coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back. Don't touch your dial.